So, we are going to end the course where you started a few years ago, that is linear programming. And so I will give you the basic idea, just the flavor of this family of methods called primal dual interior point methods. The starting idea is the one I gave you for through approximate KKT conditions. We have this system of M plus 2M non-linear equations in N plus 2M variables. So Newton's method seems a good idea. The issue is that we also have non-negativity constraints on a group of 2m variables, the Lagrange multipliers and the slack variables. How do you face this?
I'm first telling you in the basic idea in general.
You would like, let's say, let's start from some point lambda I and x, lambda I positive and x I positive,
a sum iteration,
okay? We would like to preserve the fact that these are positive,
okay?
How can I do this? Well, I can change a little bit Newton's direction in such a way that this is true. That doing a Newton step, I preserve feasibility in the sense that I preserve that these variables are positive, not negative, actually positive. Okay, and you do it in two steps. One step is you modify in some smart way Newton directions, and also you take, rather than the full Newton step, which means with a step equal to one, okay, you take a suitable step along Newton direction. Okay, rather than taking the full step, you take one half, one fourth, according to what is needed. Okay? So the idea is to start from a strictly feasible point, okay? Means that the multipliers and the slack variables are positive, none of them is zero, and you try to preserve this. Okay? So this is the basic idea. Now I show you how you can perform this in linear programming. Okay? So first step is to write this stuff for linear programs. Okay? So, if you remember linear programming, the original problem is a maximization problem and you want to minimize Cx with Ax less or equal than b, where C is in a vector in Rn, A is a matrix with m rows and n columns, and B is a vector in Rn. Okay? So this is the problem we want to solve, which is called the primal problem. And then you have the so-called dual problem, which is minimizing B transpose Y such that A transpose, no, sorry, lambda, we call it lambda, such that A transpose lambda is equal to C, and lambda has non-negative components. Okay? You learn how to solve this pair of problems through the simplex algorithms. Okay? And we also wrote together the KKT conditions. Okay? We did it a few lectures ago, and it were The Lagrange multipliers rule turns out to be A first pose lambda equals C. Okay, if you check your notes. Then we have that X has to be feasible. Then, okay, we have that lambda has to be feasible, it means non-negative components plus the Lagrange multiplier rule, and the complementarity slackness, where AI is the generic row of the matrix A. Okay, these were the KKT conditions. Okay. Allow me to rewrite them exploiting the slack variable Si. Okay, so this means that the present problem, rather than being in this form, Ax less or equal than B, will have this constraint. A x plus s, where s is the vector of the si, is equal to b, and s is a vector whose components are greater equal than 0. Okay, I turn these inequalities into equalities. Okay, in such a way that I can rewrite this in a transpose lambda, let me write it this way, minus c equals 0, the little vector, then a s plus s equals b, then I should have lambda I s I equals 0, and then I have lambda greater or equal than 0 and x greater or equal than 0. That's okay. These are the KKT conditions in our framework now. If you want to write the approximate KKT condition, the only thing you have to do is change here 0 with epsilon. Okay? That's it. I want to write just to have better notations. Okay, I want to write the complementarity slackness conditions in a slightly different notation. Okay. Let's take lambda, capital lambda, the matrix whose diagonal matrix whose diagonal elements are the lambda I. Okay. And take the S matrix, the diagonal matrix whose diagonal elements are the Si. Okay? So they are M times M matrix. M times M matrix. If I consider the product of these two matrices, what matrix do I get? I get the diagonal matrix whose diagonal elements are the product of the diagonal elements. So I get the diagonal matrix lambda 1 S1, lambda 2 S2, lambda M Sm. Okay? The diagonal of this matrix are exactly these conditions here. Okay? So if I take the vector whose components are all 1, and I compute lambda x times e,
the vector AX is lambda 1 S1, lambda n Sm.
Okay?
Taking the unit vector this way, what I get is a vector whose components are these diagonal elements. Okay? So, using this notation, I can rewrite complementarity condition exploiting this notation here. Lambda S E equals 0. Okay?
So, let's say
orange are KKT conditions for us, KKT. I replace 0 with the vector epsilon, okay, the vector whose components are all epsilon, and I get approximate KKT conditions. Now, once again I add here, it is exactly as it was here, okay? I have n equations here. Okay, it is A transpose, so it's M times N. M equations here, and M here, because this, the dimension of this is M. Okay? And what are my variables? My variables are X, lambda, and S, which are N plus N plus N. Okay? Now, I want to write this as a function, okay? So, allow me just this minus this equals 0, so that I have 0 here, okay? So, if I want to write the capital X for Newton, okay, as a function of this, this would be the function A transpose lambda minus C, AX plus S minus B and capital lambda capital S E. Okay? Remember that the lambdas are the elements of this diagonal matrix and S are the elements of this diagonal matrix. So that KKT conditions read F at S lambda S equals the zero vector. Okay? Plus lambda and S greater equal than zero. Okay? And if you want the approximate, here you have epsilon minus, you have 0, 0, epsilon minus, no, epsilon minus, okay? The point is the following. If I do Newton, what am I going to do? If I do Newton, okay, I should take a step along a direction, so the direction will have dx, d lambda, and ds components, okay?
here and components. Okay? So this is a direction. And you should write it in as a column. And Newton tells you the direction I take to move away from a current solution to the new one is the solution of this system, the Jacobian of F times D has to be equal to minus F. Okay? This is Newton-Raphson equation. Okay? Now, let me consider this system. We have to compute this equation. Okay? Sorry, this equation. I'm thinking about optimization. This Jacobian. Okay? And this Jacobian, so let's say we have to take the derivatives with respect to x, then the derivative with respect to lambda, and then the derivatives with respect to S. So let's consider the first block of derivatives with respect to x. So here in this block there is no x. Okay, so zero means. Okay. Then we make the derivatives with respect to lambdas. So this is, you make the derivative, you are left with A transpose. Okay, if you check my notes, maybe it's better if I stick to my notes. Before S and then lambda, because S stays together with the X. Okay, so. So when we do the derivative with respect to variables x, they are zero again. And when we do the derivative with respect to lambda, we take a transpose. Okay? Let's consider the second block. The derivative with respect to variables x, we obtain the matrix A. We do the derivative with respect to x. Here you have the identity, okay? So you get the identity. Those are S1, S2, Sn, when you take the derivatives, you get the identity. And then there are the derivatives with respect to lambda. Lambda is not here, so you get zero. Last block, you take the derivatives with respect to x, but here you have lambda and s, no x, so this is zero. And now, if you take the derivatives with respect to s, what do you get? You get the lambda. Okay? So here you get the matrix lambda. And vice versa, when you take the derivatives with respect to lambda, you are left with the S's. Okay? So this is the diagonal matrix S. So this is the Jacobian. Except the H. No, the Jacobian. Okay. I'm an optimizer, sorry. Dim. Stiamo mettendo in fila tutte le equazioni. È il vettore di tutte le equazioni. Il sistema diventa F uguale a 0.
Quindi è un vettore lungo
Esattamente.
Quando scriviamo quella cosa lì stiamo facendo la matrice jacobiana di quel vettore. E quindi ti viene una matrice m più 2m per m più 2m.
Quindi è una matrice grafica, non è gli elementi di quella matrice.
Questi. Questo è blocchi. Questo è un blocco di dimensione n, questo è blocco n, m, m, n, m, m. Ok, so, thank you for your question. So, this is an m by n block, this is an n by n block, and this is an n by n block, and so on, this is n, and this is n. Okay? If you do the Jacobian of a vector function with n plus 2m components, you get a square matrix of order n plus 2m. Okay?
So that this is the matrix. When we write, this is no longer uniform because it's a and then
write this. This will be 0, 0, A transpose, A, I, 0, 0, lambda F, times the direction.
So the direction is this vector here,
is a vector D. We can divide the part which corresponds to F, the part which corresponds to s, and the part which corresponds to lambda, and this has to be equal to minus the value of the function.
Okay. Now, the idea for Newton's method is to move from
from a feasible point to another. Okay? So we would like points to be feasible. So if the current point S lambda is feasible, what you get there is 0, 0, 0. There's a minus, so minus epsilon. So this is 0, 0, minus epsilon times the vector. Okay?
What am I saying?
This is what I want. Okay? I have, let's say, x is feasible for the primal problem, lambda, let's say, is feasible for the dual problem,
so what I satisfied are these, okay, and this has been turned into ax plus b equals plus s equals b, s equals 0.
Okay, so feasibility means this is 0, this is 0. Okay? And then here when we compute lambda s, what we get is lambda s.
It's lambda s e.
Okay? We don't know the value at the current point, sorry. That was the solution. And there's a minus in front of it. So this is the system we would like to solve. The idea is the following.
Well, even if we take Let's say that at the current iteration,
we start from a point which is, let's say, this way, strictly feasible. So,
all the Si's and all the lambda I's
are positive. Okay? Which in the original problem means that AX is smaller than B. Okay? And it is not equal at any point. If I do a Newton step, so I move from
my current point is X, S, lambda, along the Newton direction, which is the solution of this linear system.
Will I get to a feasible solution or not? I can show you that yes, it is so. I will still get a point satisfying this and this requirement. We can do it. But who tells me that I will prefer the fact that these variables are positive? Okay? One way to do is to add other step, okay, in such a way that I choose lambda small enough in such a way that the original S were positive. S plus lambda times ds is still a vector with positive components. Okay? If these are positive, I can do this. Okay? And the same for the lambdas. So the basic idea, one basic idea is to add a step. Okay? And I will come back to this in a moment. I want to show you that feasibility is preserved. So, if you solve the system, consider just the first block. The first block is telling you A transpose B lambda equals 0. The second block is telling you AX DX plus DS equals 0. And the third block is telling you... do I mind it? The third block is telling you lambda plus S D lambda equal minus lambda. Okay. I want to see what happens to this one. Okay. To be feasible, the new point, this A, the new point plus the new S has to be equal to B. To B, okay? And this is AS plus S plus okay? This is equal to B because our point was feasible. We had here AX plus S equals B, and we had lambda A lambda transpose equals C. So this is B, and this is 0 because it's the solution of the second block of equations there. Okay. So this is preserved. If I move along Newton's direction, this is preserved. And the same happens for A transpose lambda, because now it is lambda plus alpha times ds, and it is A transpose lambda plus alpha times A transpose, D lambda. This is C, and this is 0. Okay. So, it's boring linear algebra. It's telling you, if I take a step along the Newton direction, these conditions are satisfied. Always. Okay. So I preserve them. The only trouble I might have is S and lambda positive, greater or equal than 0. Even if they are positive, I could do a too long step and some components might become negative. Okay? Of course, I know this, so I can choose the suitable. I can choose the suitable step. Okay? But the trouble is the following. In the solution, lambda I S I is equal 0. Okay? So one of the two at the solution has to be 0. Okay? So Newton is pointing towards a solution where for each pair one of the two is 0. Okay. So it's likely that the step I'm going to take is extremely small. Okay. When I'm approaching the solution, it is likely that I will have to make a very small step to preserve the fact that the components are positive. Okay. So, yes, I can do it, but it's likely that I will not make much progress. Okay. So, what comes here? Is the following idea. I can somehow exploit, rather than the KKT condition, I could exploit the approximate KKT condition. Because suppose I solve the problem with the approximate condition. I'm not pointing towards point where lambda I S I is equal to 0 in the limit. I'm pointing to points where lambda I S I are pointing to epsilon, to the epsilon, so positive. Okay? So one good idea is to modify that system there, adding this a term of this kind for some epsilon. In such a way that Newton method points towards solutions where lambda I and S I are both positive. So the idea here is to add an epsilon, okay? Here. And what do I add? Okay, in general, the epsilon that is added is done this way. Sigma mu, and then I have the vector E. Sigma is a parameter between 0 and 1. Okay. And mu is not fixed, but it changes at every iteration. I take the average of the product lambda I S I. So I modify it at each iteration. Okay. So at each iteration I point towards something which is positive, but then I reduce the quantity taking into account the average of all these products here. Okay? So this is the idea to have less troubles with the positivity issue. Actually, I could also take one here. This sigma is called the parameter of centrality. Okay? There's a call, there's a thing, I'll show you an example. I tried to use the computers to show you an example and to end with this example.
Take the solutions of this for all values of x. Okay? That describes a path in the physical region, okay? As epsilon changes. Okay? And the path should go to the solution as epsilon goes to zero. Okay? This is telling I would like to point towards a point where all of these are equal. Okay? So that satisfies this condition for transmutable epsilon. Okay? So the bigger I take this, the more I'm pointing towards a point done that way. Okay? Because this does a different thing, we don't know, we cannot control it. And the more we add here, at most we can add one, the more we are leaning towards points which satisfy sigma mu. Okay, where this epsilon is sigma mu. Okay?
So to summarize, and then I show you a very simple example.
Take the key conditions for linear programming turn into this system of n plus 2n equations in the same number of variables plus the negativity constraints. Okay? We can solve this through Newton method. We see that Newton preserves feasibility, except eventually the fact that the Fi and the lambda I have to be positive. To preserve positivity, we can take a step, but to avoid that the step is too small, we add here a term in such a way that rather than pointing towards points where lambda I, Fi is equal to zero, we point towards points where lambda I, Fi is equal to some positive value. And we update this value at each iteration according to this rule. That is saying, just take the average of the current products. Okay? This is the idea. Then you can refine it, you can write the algorithms formally, you can perform choice some way you chose this, you can perform choices of this mu which are different from this one and so on, you can, there's an entire world, okay, inside this. This is just a basic idea. System, Newton, I modify Newton in such a way that I can make long enough steps preserving positivity of the slack and multipliers variables, okay? And so, if I make it, I can show you an example, very, very, very simple example. The example is simply solving. The feasible region will be the unitary square, okay? And I want to map and as vector, and I want to, and as vector c, I take 1, 1, okay? So I want to maximize cx over d square. Where is the maximum point? Yeah, it's here, okay? It's this vertex here. Okay, you have to write this formally. It comes up that to the matrix A will be done by
1, 0, minus 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, minus 1, and the coefficient will be 1, 0, 1, 0. These are the data, okay, of the program. A, B, and C turn out to this problem here, okay? Then you have to introduce the slack variables, the multipliers, and so on. Oh, okay. No trouble. We have five. I have 5 minutes to show you the example. Okay, it was already up. So let me run it. So this is the physical region. Okay, and these are the level curves. Okay, since the function is linear, the level curves are lines. Okay, the points which are orthogonal to C. This is vector C. Okay, and the optimum is where? I can compute the central plot. It means solve these equations for all values of epsilon. Okay, the example is so simple you can perform it on paper. I have it here on my small pizzino. Okay. Well, the computation is not difficult, it's not good looking, okay? There are some squares you have to solve not nice equation of degree 2, but so you come up with some squares. But the result is very nice because the central path is the diagonal of the square. So as epsilon goes to plus infinity, you are going to this direction. As epsilon is going to zero, you are going to the vertex 1, 1, which is the optimal solution. Okay? Now, if I run it, it asks me for a starting point. Okay? Let's say I start from... not this one. I start from some points around zero, and also ask me for some initial multipliers. If you compute A transpose lambda, it come up that lambda 2 has to be 1 plus lambda 1, and lambda 4 has to be 1 plus lambda 3. So I, for instance, choose 1, 2, 2, 3, okay, so that I get a feasible point. And notice all of these are positive. Then I'm asked for that sigma. Let's say I'm not much interested in centrality, so let's take 0, 2. And now I have everything here. So my starting point is here. Okay? It's in the interior of the feasible region, so the SIs are all positive because they are this distance there. My multipliers are 1, 2, 2, 3, so they are all positive. So yeah, I am completely inside this framework. I solve the modified Newton system at each iteration, I take a step, and the algorithm runs this way. Okay? You see? You have some steps here, then you approach the central path and you go to the optimal solution. Okay? Let's try to run it again with a stronger require for centrality. A stronger require for centrality means that we want to approach this line as soon as possible and then move along the line. Okay, so I run it once again. So I have to do everything again. So this is the time. I will take the same initial point. I will take the same multipliers. And this time, I will, rather than 0,2, I can take 0,8. Okay? So 4 times more. And here it is. I start from the very same point in the interior of the region. You see what happens? After a first very long step, it points strongly towards the central path, and then it follows precisely. Okay? So, this coefficient here tells you how much I do want to approach the central path. Okay? Notice that in this case was not a bad idea, the other situation was faster. Okay? So the method is called primal dual because it takes into account both the primal and dual problems, so you have the x and the s as primal variables and the lambdas which are the dual variables, or in a more general theory, the Lagrange multipliers. Okay? It's called interior point, because we deal with points which lie in the interior of the physical region, both for the primal and the dual problem, because we want the Si to be positive and we want the lambda I to be positive. Okay. And so this is the reason of the name. There's a whole area of research on this. I have an additional detail I can tell you. I was much concerned about feasibility. Okay. Actually, Newton doesn't care about feasibility. Okay. Newton is a system of equations. Okay. And some of the equations are feasibility. Okay. So actually, I could apply this kind of method also starting from infeasible points, because it's Newton that points towards feasibility. Okay. Because feasibility is inside Newton's system. So I can show you the very last example of the course. Rather than starting from a feasible point here, let's start, for instance, from 0 to 1.1. 1.1 is outside the feasible region, okay? Because it's the square of 0, 1, 0, 1. So we are outside the feasible region. And I did some mistake, okay, so I retry, because here this is a column vector. And also, let's say I take multipliers which are not feasible, all positive, but not feasible, 1, 1, 1, 1, okay? This is not feasible because it should be 1, 2, 1, 2, okay? Let's say centrality is not an issue here because it's not what I'm interested. So the starting point is up there, outside the feasible region. But the algorithm works all the same because feasibility is driven by Newton method. It's driven by the Newton procedure because it is contained in the equations. Okay? So you could also start from unfeasible points. Okay? Actually, to tell the truth, if you want to have a nice theory of convergence, it is difficult to get it from unfeasible points, starting unfeasible points. Okay? You have a nice result when you start from feasible points. So this is the end. I just want to tell you once again that when you use a commercial software for linear programming nowadays, the fault algorithm falls in this category, okay? Interior point methods. From a theoretical point of view, they are better than simplex method, because simplex method, you know, is a method whose worst case complexity is exponential. Well, here you can find that it is polynomial. What does it mean? This is an iterative method, so it takes an infinite number of steps. It means that you can find a solution with a desired precision on the optimal values in polynomial time. Okay? So nowadays, simplex method is just used for huge problems where interior point methods have some difficulties. Okay? Slow down. Okay. So, but this is the reason I wanted to end up with this, because this is what you find in commercial software for linear programming, And this is where you started from. So the theory of nonlinear constraint optimization led to improvements for linear programming. Okay? Actually, it's not true because it was developed first for the linear case, but the basic idea starting from were KKT conditions. Okay? So that's it. So this is the end of the course. Beyond the exam, beyond the course, what I hope that is going to remain with you is the fact that when you open up a software or a package for optimization problem, you can read and understand the documentation. Okay? When they speak about optimality conditions, stopping criteria, and so on, or class of methods. So we had an overview of this. So this is my desire. This was my main goal, so that you can understand what you're doing.